Our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who created heaven and earth, who keeps his faithful forever, and who will never forsake the works of his hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, by Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter 189, the verses 1 till 4. 189, the verses 1 till 4.
Ask your attention now for the holy law of God as we read it from Exodus chapter 20. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. For the scripture reading this morning, we'll turn to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 1 through verse 12. And seeing the multitudes, he, that is the Lord Jesus, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you this morning about what you find in the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We speak to you this morning about the poor in spirit. And we see, in the first place, their happiness. For the Lord Jesus teaches, blessed are the poor in spirit. They are blessed. In the second place, we see their poorness. For blessed are the poor in spirit. They are poor. They are blessed and they are poor. It seems to be a contradiction, but it is not really a contradiction. And then in the third place, we consider their richness, the poor in spirit. The Lord says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor in spirit. My dear children, for you another time, the poor in spirit, their happiness, their poorness, and their richness. Dear congregation, I have two questions for you. Two this time. The first question is, do you feel happy now? Children, my young people, do you feel happy now? It's yes or no. Some of you say, probably yes, I feel very happy. I just fall in love. I have a girlfriend. There can be so many reasons by which people feel themselves happy, isn't it? Somebody feels himself happy when he wins in a lottery, $30 million. He's full of joy. But the other question, are you really happy? For you all may understand there's a big difference between feeling yourselves happy and really being happy. Can you be happy when your sins are not really forgiven? Can you be happy? You may have happy days, the day of your marriage. You can make a good job, a lot of money. You say, I'm a happy man, I'm blessed. But if your sins are not forgiven, and you come at the end, suddenly, unexpectedly, then you are lost. Lost for all eternity. You felt so happy. Maybe your whole life. We read it sometimes of people in the Bible, Psalm 73, people who always were happy. You read it in the parables of the Lord Jesus. The rich man, every day was full of happiness and splendor. But then death came. Death is coming for everybody, isn't it? Nobody can escape death. Nobody. And the day of judgment is coming. Lo, I come quickly, says the Lord Jesus. No creature in the world can escape that day. And when the signs of the Son of Man is visible in the clouds, then every man shall weep and mourn. They lose all their happiness when they are not reconciled with God and are not ready for the coming of the Savior. So I hope you understand now all that there is a big difference between feeling yourself happy and really being happy. How can you be happy when you are still on the way to hell? How can you feel yourself happy? Foolish man, the devil is deceiving you. You are a happy guy, you are young, you are strong, you have a lot, you have this. You have nothing. If you have not Christ as your personal Savior in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you have nothing. You are extremely unhappy. But who does that feel? Who does that feel? People around you, they look happy, the American people. When you are in a big shop in Myers, you see a lot of nice faces, friendly people, happy people. But there is a big eternal difference. Let us be taught by our Lord and blessed Savior. He tells us who is really happy. That's the first word he utters in his first sermon. The Sermon on the Mount, the biggest sermon we know, and the first sermon which is mentioned in the Gospel. The first word is blessed. Now in the Greek, this word has a little different meaning. It's blessed, it's okay, but it's much more. For we use the word blessed in many different ways, isn't it? I spoke to a black man this week, and he said, "Oh, I'm blessed, Pastor. I have a job, I have income, I'm blessed." Are you blessed? Of course, there are so many different blessings. But the blessing which is meant here is totally different from all other blessings. In the Greek is used the word makarios. And some people in the Greek-speaking countries has that name. The happy one. Makarios. And then you compare it with the same word in the Old Testament, hasherei. Then it means the most happy man. Extremely happy. Happy above everything. Happy above all. Blessed. We must consider some things before we enter this precious text. With the prayer in our heart that we may all see and experience the spiritual treasures and the wonderful blessing of this text in our own soul now. That we may be really blessed, not in our own opinion, not in our own feeling, but blessed by the Lord Jesus himself, who is the truth, and who will be the judge of our life. The first thing we must consider before is this. In the Beatitudes, the Lord shows us a picture of all true Christians. Do you want to know whether your faith is true or not? Then you must look in this perfect mirror. Blessed. That's what he's saying. And that's the only thing what's really important. You find here the marks of the true children of God. I don't know how it is here, but in my study time and also later on, I had a lot of fellow pastors, co-pastors, and they sometimes attacked my preaching because I preach the marks of grace. They didn't like that. A lot of people don't like to hear the marks of grace. Or they say very superficially, "Oh, I believe, that's enough. Faith is the only mark." No, friend, no. The devil believes too. But he will never be saved. There are many marks of grace by which you can know and must know whether you are on the right way. On the way to eternal life, or not. It's one of the two. Marks of grace are very important. And the Lord Jesus, starts his first sermon with the marks of grace. So you can see how important are the marks of grace. He begins with it. So I said to my colleagues, I said, "Well, go to my master, criticize him. He started his first sermon with the marks of grace, and I want to do the same. I have no other desire than to follow his steps, to speak his word, to go his way. What people are saying doesn't matter." Marks of grace are very important. And then we must consider, of course, do I have by grace that marks of grace. Blessed. Am I the blessed man, the blessed woman, the blessed boy, the blessed child? Am I the blessed one? For all children of God has this marks. Another point is this. That all children of God has all these marks. You don't understand it right when you think, well, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's a portion. Blessed are the meek, that's another portion. No, 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 no. That's not true at all. When you are a child of God, when you are blessed, you have by God's grace all these marks. It's the golden chain of grace. It's the golden chain of salvation. Take away one piece of that chain, he's broken. It's not a chain at all. So you must have them all. When you are poor in spirit, you mourn, you're meek, you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you are merciful, you are pure in heart, you are a peacemaker, and you are persecuted for God's sake. That all belongs together as a unity. That's very important to consider that. And another point, and then we enter our text. Another point is this. Nobody can give and teach you this marks of true saving grace but the Holy Spirit. It's never, never your nature. You can be a nice man. You can have a gentle character. You can be generous. It can happen that people say, oh, I love that man. I love that woman. It's such a nice man. But you are and stay a natural man. As long as you are not at school, my dear children, of the Lord Jesus. As long as you are not really taught by him in the power of the Holy Spirit, you shall never show and have these marks. It's not your nature. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. And that's a mistake which many people make. Well, they are brought up in the church. They say they believe it, the Bible. And they are nice men. So they are true believers. Of course, on the way to heaven. It's not true. It's not true. You are not on the way to heaven except you have really these marks of grace. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Who? And we cannot consider them all now, but we take this one. For the Lord Jesus teaches, blessed are the poor in spirit. And our first thought is their richness. Blessed. When you belong to God's people, truly, you are the most happy man in the world. Maybe there are times that you cannot see that. And often are there times that you feel the opposite. When you read, by example, in the Psalms, how God's people are crying out of the depth. Am I crying unto thee, O Lord, out of the depth of my guilt, out of the depths of my misery and sorrow, I'm crying unto thee. When you see, by example, the publican and the Pharisee, oh, the Pharisee, he was a happy man. He felt happy. Lord, I'm blessed. I thank thee. I'm not such a sinner as that man. I'm the happy man. But the publican, oh God, be merciful upon me, a sinner. He felt the opposite. But dear children, who was the happy man? Not the Pharisee, but the publican, the poor in spirit. He was really poor in spirit. Well, you must do what you can.
Everything to be the happy man, truly. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is teaching us, seek first the kingdom of God. For the happy man is the owner of the kingdom of heaven. Seek first. Only the poor in spirit owns the kingdom of heaven. Seek that first. Ask the Lord continually, oh Lord, make me such a happy man, a happy child, that I may really, in my own experience, may know, taught by thee, what it is to be a poor in spirit. For then I'm happy. Did you ever see that? There's only one people in the world really happy. That God's true people. Often when the Lord begins his good work in the soul of a man, it's one of the things he begins to see. There's only one people happy. Maybe you cannot say, I belong to that people. Maybe you feel standing outside the kingdom. But yet you become convicted. God's people is happy. And I am only happy when I belong to God's true people. And outside that, nothing can fill me. Nothing can make me happy. Nobody can make me happy. I shall lose it all. But when I have that happiness, I have everything. That's true. That's true.
That's nice when you see that, children. When you seek that happiness.
When you seek the kingdom of God. The Lord admonish you to do that. Seek first that kingdom of heaven. For it's a perfect happiness.
In this world, you shall never find perfect happiness. You find some measures of happiness. A happy marriage is a blessing. But there is not in this world a perfect marriage. And that what you make you often most happy in this world makes you most sad and sorrowful at the end. For when you must miss one another, and you had a happy marriage, then there is such a big wound in your heart that you cannot live. And so ends your life in sorrow. Without this happiness. People seek paradise. People want to make their paradise. People seek happiness. If I ask you, do you want to become happy? You say, oh, yes,
I want to become happy. Well, seek then first the kingdom of heaven. Then you will become happy. And otherwise, you never will become happy. There shall be always a lack. There shall be always a sorrow. But this happiness is a perfect happiness.
You can compare it with an inheritance. And you are a child. You inherit all what your father has provided for you. The full inheritance. But as long as you are a child, you receive actually a little part. And so God's people receive a little part in their hearts. Sometimes very strong, very real, very true. The foretaste of heavenly glory, the foretaste of the communion with God, the foretaste in their soul by the Holy Spirit as a wonderful reality, the loving kindness of God, which is better than life. And then you feel happy, isn't it? When you are sitting at the table
And the Holy Spirit prints it deeply in your soul. Christ took away all my sins. And the peace which goes beyond all understanding fills your heart. Then you are a happy man. Then you want to stay there. Then you receive some things of an open heaven. And the foretaste of heavenly glory makes you so happy. And take away all your doubts and all your fears. Yes, there are moments in the experience and lives of God's true people that they are the most happy men in the world. And nobody can take away that happiness. Nobody can take away their Savior. Nobody can take away their peace. Nobody can take away their joy. That's a total different joy than the world ever can give. The joy in God by the Holy Spirit. When you receive, blessed one, a foretaste of that perfect happiness which the Lord has provided for you, which Christ had merited for you, and which the Lord has prepared for you into all eternity. When that living hope is filling our heart, we are lifted up above all our miseries. Happy moments. There is not a people in the world which is so happy than the true people of God. Blessed, blessed, blessed. A perfect happiness. My dear friends, it's also an eternal happiness. Young people seek to be happy, of course. In one of my congregations, I had a happy couple, happy married. 73 years married. 73 years happy married. And then came the end. And one of them died. And the other couldn't live anymore. And died soon thereafter. Because the sorrow of their hearts. And undoubtedly, one of the most beautiful things in this life, is happy marriage. But it ends. What happiness you have and seek in this world, it's short. It's suddenly ending. It changes in the opposite. But the happiness which the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you, out of the fullness of his merits, it's an eternal happiness. It never ends. And when you feel the foretaste of that happiness in your soul, then you have the deep wish, O Lord, let this never cease. Let this continue always. One day in thy courts is better than thousands at other places. One day, one moment of thy love brings eternity, eternal joy in our soul, eternal peace, eternal happiness. I cannot express the fullness of that eternal happiness, but when you are a true child of God and the drops of heaven came in your heart, you know exactly what I mean. For only they who experience this wonderful happiness, they know what it is. To be blessed. To be blessed by the Lord himself. Blessed. Eternal happy you are. Perfect happy you are. Nobody can take your happiness away. All what you have here in the world, you shall lose it. But that blessedness, that happiness which the Lord Jesus has merited for you, nobody can take it away from you. And you can never lose it. You are the most happy man, the happy child, child of God, truly, when you are blessed. Their happiness. It's the highest form of happiness. It cannot be better. It cannot be higher. It's absolutely the top of happiness. There are, of course, a lot of measures in happiness, isn't it? Children can be happy with small things. Adult people, not so easy. But this happiness is really the fullness, the top, which endures forever and ever. And the enjoyment, the experience of true happiness, you will always keep that. Here we cannot keep that. But when we are in heaven, when we have inherited the kingdom of heaven, then we are eternally on the top of our happiness. And that will never end. That will never come down. That will never decrease. That will be the top, totally filled. God, all in all. What do you think about this happiness, my dear friends? Is it not foolish to work at your earthly happiness and not at this eternal happiness? Is that not foolish? It is. And millions of people shall realize too late. Foolish man I was. I lived in the world. I had a form of religion. I had a thought that I was saved, but it was not really true, for my heart was in the world. My heart was not really in God. I was in Switzerland several times, and we had our lodging with a very old couple, very old. He is 95, she's nearly 90. And they both married in their old age. They lost their husband and their wife, and they were this year 20 years married. But the lady told me how her husband died. When he was in his 50s, he got lung cancer. And then he said to her, "Bertie, I'm afraid. I must die. I must stand before God. I'm lost. I didn't give my life and heart to the Lord, really. He was a member of the church and lived in some measure religious. But he realized, I come to the end, and my life and heart was not really for the Lord." And that became a heavy wrestling of his soul. And then at the days he mentioned, he came to me, and his face glanced, and he said, "Bertie, I am the most happy man of the world, for now I can truly believe that Jesus Christ died also for my sins and reconciled me with God. I have such a peace in my soul. I am the most happy man of the world." Blessed! Blessed! But now, in the second place, we consider their poorness. For I mentioned to you the blessedness of God's people, but now we must speak about their poorness. For the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Only they. And then we must consider, before we enter in this second part, some important things. And the first thing is this. The Lord Jesus starts this sermon and his Beatitudes with the poor in spirit. That's the beginning. That's the first one. That has a deep sense, everything in the Bible and in the teachings of the Lord Jesus has a deep meaning. That's not by chance. You cannot change it. So many people in our country, also religious people and reformed people, I often heard that, say, "Well, you can change some things. Misery, the knowledge of your misery, the knowledge of your redemption, the knowledge to be grateful. You can change that. You can start with redemption.
I'm saved. Not speaking so much about your misery and sinfulness, but accept Christ and be glad.
Who is glad with such a faith?
The devil. He is glad when you say that. For then you are deceived. That's not the teaching of our Lord. That's not the truth of the Bible. That's the lie of the devil. The Lord Jesus starts his teaching with, blessed are the believers,
the people who say, I'm saved. No. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's fundamental.
That's the foundation. Out of this mark comes forth all other marks of grace. May you have not this, you have nothing. Nothing that's yourself deceiving. It's very, very important. That's the first point. It's fundamental, this beginning. When the Lord begins his saving work in the heart of a sinner, he begins in this way to make you poor in spirit. And when you never became a poor in spirit, you are not saved.
The second point is this, that the Lord starts with the lowest degree of saving grace. Even the babe in Christ, the newborn babe, the smallest in grace, can experience this mark. Recognize himself in this beautiful mark of grace. He can say, yes, I am the man. I'm so poor.
I'm so poor, Lord. I've nothing. So poor. Out of that poorness, crying to Christ all the time. And now, what is it to be a poor in spirit? Well, my dear congregation, we all are, by nature, extremely poor before God. We are all. In Adam, we lost God. In Adam, we broke the relation with God. And we are all on the way to eternal damnation. We are all building up a guilt, becoming higher, higher, bigger, as a mountain growing, growing every day. We are so extremely poor. It cannot be uttered. But as long as we are unconverted, not born again, we don't realize.
We are satisfied with our faith, with our life, with our religion. We are not perfect, we know, but Jesus Christ for sinners, Jesus died for sinners, so I trust. I'm ready. Poor man, deceived man, poor child, deceived child. You are not aware how poor you are. The first thing which the Holy Spirit shows you, that's what the Lord Jesus wants to teach us, the reality of your situation. I was once in a mental hospital, and a very, very disabled, mentally disabled lady said, I'm so happy. I'm the Queen of England. I'm the Queen of England. That's her thought. That was her reality. And I couldn't bring her out of that reality. But that's our situation too. By nature, we are deceived, we are blinded. We think it's not so bad. But it is.
It is. We are really unhappy. We are really poor. We can be every moment lost forever if we are not really saved. And as long as we don't realize that, as long as we don't feel that, as long as we don't know that, don't accept. For the Lord Jesus doesn't teach us, blessed are the poor, but blessed are the poor in spirit.
In your spirit, you feel it, you see it, you realize it. By the irresistible working of the Holy Spirit, you are convicted.
Conviction. You cannot miss it. Without true saving conviction, you cannot be saved. You never will become a poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does a poor in spirit has? He has a lot. He has a lot of sin. Only sin. Not more than sin. Oh Lord, be merciful. A sinner. What's a sinner? A sinner is a man, a woman, a child who has and do only sin, nothing but sin.
Nobody believes that really. My best works, my best moments, I try to be a good guy, I do my best, I go to the church, is that all sin, Pastor? Even my prayers? Is it all sin? Is it only sin? Yes. Did you never see that? Did you never confess that to the Lord honestly? Oh Lord, my best works, my best thoughts, my best desires are in the sight of thy holiness. Only sin. I am not able to do anything but sin.
I'm so poor.
That's the experience of the poor in spirit. And they feel their sin as a guilt. People, also religious people, can very easily say, yes, I cannot convert myself. I cannot help it. I try, I pray, I do what I can, but I cannot convert myself. God must convert me. And then I laugh, and I work, and I do, and I live.
Then I give the guilt to God. Terrible man! You are the sinner. You are not willing. You are the guilty one, not God. By thinking so, by living so, you are a terrible sinner.
Do you feel that? Oh Lord, oh Lord. Poor, poor. Even in my religious thought, even in my reformed confession, I spoil it all. I've nothing but sin and guilt before thee. And a poor in spirit feels something. When the Lord should cast me away forever and should damn me, he's right. That's what I deserved. The poor in spirit sees clearly the guilt, the fault is only at my side. Never, never at the side of God. Never. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does a poor in spirit has not? He has no faith. When we are not a poor in spirit, we can easily believe.
So many people in the Netherlands, in the United States, religious people say, well, it's your own choice. Believe, it's easy. Give your heart to Jesus. Open yourself for him. That's easy. That's in your hands. Do it. Come forward. Make the choice.
Nice. No. No. That's the rich in spirit. That's the deceived man. To think you are able to any good. You can believe. A poor in spirit cannot believe. A poor in spirit has no faith. I remember in my younger days, when the Lord showed me myself, that I often said in my own, Lord, it's easier for me to pick the stars from heaven and to drink up the ocean than to believe I have nothing. Oh Lord, give me faith. Give me faith. Give me faith. I have not. I cannot. I will not. I'm so poor. That's a special experience, no? That's the experience of the poor in spirit. All what I do and can, I only owe to Christ. I have nothing in myself, nothing. Also, after received grace, I cannot believe. The disciples once prayed to the Lord Jesus, Lord, give us more faith. And what said the Lord? If you had a faith as a mustard seed, you should say to the mountains, remove, be planted in the sea, and they should obey you. No, poor in spirit has nothing. He cannot pray. The Pharisee, he could pray very beautiful. He was standing in the front of the house of God, and Lord, we thank thee, we thank thee, we thank thee. But the poor in spirit cannot pray. He can utter words, of course. He can utter biblical words. He can produce a nice prayer for people. But that's no prayer. For a poor in spirit feels, in my prayer, I must die. Thou name be hallowed. Not my name. Thy kingdom come. Not my kingdom. Thy will be done. Not my will. I have not that. I cannot that. I will not that. That's totally opposite. Against my nature. Lord, teach me to pray. I have no prayer. They are praying all the time. The publican was praying all the time. But when you should have asked to that man, man, are you able to pray? I said, no. No, I'm a sinner. In my prayers, I'm full of sin and selfishness. I'm only a self-seeker, nothing more. That's what the Holy Spirit shows, the poor in spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit, the prayer, spirit of prayer and supplication, I can pray. I need a praying high priest. Only out of his fullness, I can pray. Without me, you can do nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm so poor, I cannot pray. Nothing, only by Christ. The poor in spirit have no strength. You must be strong. You must fight a good fight. Yes, we can. That's not poor in spirit. That's the opposite. That's the hypocrite. For the poor in spirit has no strength at all. Nothing, nothing. He tries. But he is always the loser. He cannot conquer any sin, any lust, any enemy. He is so weak, He has no strength at all. My strength is performed in weakness, says the Lord. And what the apostle is saying is the experience of the poor in spirit, continuing his whole life. For you stay poor in spirit. You become poorer and poorer in spirit. The longer you are on the way of grace, the poorer you become. It's still the end. When you inherit the kingdom of heaven, all poor in spirit, you have nothing, no strength. You're sinning every day. You're stumbling every day in all things. All things is full of shortcomings. You are so poor. Because you are so poor and can do nothing without me, nothing, nothing. You rely on Christ only. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit has no love. No love. The command is love the Lord. Love your neighbor.
Love your enemy. But he has no love. He has hate. The poor in spirit feels it's true in my evil heart. I am inclined to hate God and my neighbor. I'm a hater. I'm not a lover. I've nothing but hate.
I can cover that hypocritically. I can seem to be a nice man, but in the deepest of my heart, I'm a hater, not a lover. Oh Lord, oh Lord. You feel that? You see that? You have nothing but sin, but guilt, but hate. You are a sinner.
There's no expectation, never, never, of your own. But the poor in spirit, that's the other side. He flees to Christ. All what you miss is fully present in the Lord Jesus. And out of his fullness, we receive grace for grace. We receive the forgiveness of our sins. And by faith, we experience his wonderful peace. By grace, we receive love out of the fullness of the love of Christ. Christ coming in us, we living in him, exercised through love. Out of the fullness of Christ, we receive faith. Faith. Lord, give us faith. And he does. For a poor in spirit is a beggar at the feet of Christ.
And Christ loves them. Christ fulfills them.
He fulfills your heart.
In the Dutch, it's a beautiful psalm. The first psalm which we teach our children when they are 3-4 years old. And it's Psalm 81. And when I say it in the Dutch, some of you understand. Al wat u ontbreekt, schenk ik zo het smeekt. All what you miss, I give you all what you lack, all what you miss.
I give you. Lord, give, give, give. A poor in spirit is a lifelong beggar at the feet of Christ, at the throne of grace. But he will never be ashamed. For the Lord fulfills his word and promise in your life.
Martin Luther was in his last hours. And one of his last sayings was, we stay beggars. Blessed are the poor. It's such a touching contradiction, isn't it? Poor in spirit. Often crying. always begging, always longing. With nothing can I be fulfilled, but God only. Whom have I in the heaven's eye, but thee, O Lord, alone? A stranger in this world, so poor, and yet so happy. Wandering through the wilderness, nobody, nothing can really fulfill me. I'm seeking the kingdom. I'm seeking the kingdom of heaven. I'm seeking the kingdom of heaven first. That's the poor in spirit. And that's their richness, the kingdom of heaven. They are not children of this world any longer. They are in the world. They are not from the world. They don't belong to this world. You belong to the kingdom of God. It's yours. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The whole kingdom is for you. The whole kingdom, the king is yours. The king. The king is beauty. Your savior. Your beloved one. Who was in this world hanging at a cross. His crown was a crown of thorns. And his blood was streaming along his body. And the power of that blood of your king. Jesus, the king of the Jews. Jesus, the king of the poor in spirit. Their only hope. Their only savior. Their only bridegroom. Their only friend. Give me Jesus, or I die. Outside Jesus is no life at all. Jesus, who is my life. He in us, we in him. I live, but not I, but Jesus Christ is living in me. And what I live by faith in the Son of God, which hath so much loved me. My life is Christ, my dying gain. That's the poor in spirit. Is he not happy? Is he not rich? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are written in heaven. And their heart is in heaven. But I am at the right hand of the Father in the throne of God. Where I am shall be my servant. Where your treasure is your heart. Where is your treasure? Where is your richness? In your family, in your money, in your relations? Then you are really poor, eternally poor. Where is your treasure? Christ is my treasure. His kingdom, which is coming. It's reality. It's not far away. It's in me. The kingdom of God is in you. Christ is in you. Poor in spirit. And on one hand, so unhappy often. So poor, so crying. And the other hand, so happy. And there are always moments again that the Lord gives you the enjoyment of that happiness. And that a longing for his coming is filling your heart. In one of my old congregations, I visited a man of God. And I sometimes came to him and he said, Pastor, I did my hands on high. And I cried, Lord, he comes, he comes. He was poor in spirit. Not a man with high talk, but a poor in spirit. And sometimes his heart was so filled with the richness which was in him already. And waiting for him, the full revelation of the kingdom of heaven. Let thy kingdom come. That's the prayer. the deepest desire of the poor in spirit. And their desires shall be fulfilled very, very soon. For their heart is with Christ, hidden in God. Are they not rich? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This world goes away. This life is very short. But that kingdom shall fill heaven and earth. That kingdom shall fill their hearts and life for all eternity. Yes, they are kings themselves. When you are a true believer, a poor in spirit, you are a prophet, you are a priest, and you are a king. And you have a royal crown. In Psalm 103, you read, "Who crowns us with mercy and loving kindness." Your crown is the mercy and the loving kindness of your God and your King. You have a crown. And you have royal garments. For the bride can say, "He has clothed me with the garments of righteousness." So beautiful, without any spot. And so you can stand before the King when he has come in his kingdom. And you have a royal throne. For when you were child of God, a poor in spirit, the promise is for you. "He who conquers, I will give him to sit with me in my throne. And the saints shall judge the world." So the poor in spirit are extremely rich. Rich in God. Rich with God. My portion forever and forever. Inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. Within short time we will be there. There is no sin anymore. We will be there. There are no relations anymore. Only one relation, the eternal relation of perfect love with God, in God, in the communion of the saints, when the church shall be full. How rich, how happy are the poor in spirit. And therefore I ask you again, seek first the kingdom of heavens, and all things shall be added unto you. Amen. Let us think and pray now.
Gracious and merciful God, we thank thy holy name for thy wonderful word, and give us all grace to know, to experience these hidden things. At one hand, so poor as nobody else, nobody can express the poorness which fill thy people in their soul. And at the other hand, so rich in Christ, by Christ, with Christ, when the church has come to her fullness, full of God, full of number. O Lord, what a future! And let us look forward to that future and live out of the reality of the kingdom of heavens, for it's coming soon. Lord, work mightily in the heart of each of us, that this word will be not a witness against us, but that it may be a means of salvation for each of us. Pardon us all what was sinful. Bring us together tonight in thy house, that we may have a delight in thy word, and help us when we catechize the children and have a short meeting after this service. Fill us with thy love and thy grace. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.